This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. What a weekend. It's all the only way to put it. We had a thrilling Cardinal game. I'm just kidding. They won. The story is ASU basketball. It's not even close. Actually, college basketball in general. So I'm sitting here on the 11th of December on a Monday morning as we tape this in our studios from Skyview Networks. We appreciate the partnership with them. And I'm already looking to December 30th. Eric, are you going to be around December 30th? Where's TCU at? I have not seen the bowl deal. Are you going to be at a football game somewhere?
I don't believe so. They're playing the Alamo Bowl, but I was just there 2 years ago, so probably going to pass this time around.
Not going to go, huh?
I don't think so.
The Wildcats and Sun Devils, December 30th, 7 p.m., you and me?
We go every year, so we might as well make it a tradition, right?
What do you think?
Sure.
I can't wait. I really can't wait. Have the rankings come out yet? Have you seen anything?
I have been trolling through Twitter, and I have not seen them, but I expect them definitely out before the end of this show.
So what do you think? I'm thinking 8, 9, somewhere around there.
I would think they would jump even higher than that because there are a bunch of teams in the top 10 that lost. Florida lost multiple games last week. So Kansas lost multiple games last week. So
the Pac-12 schools, no less.
Yeah. Nice weekend for the Pac-12 over the Big 12.
I watched Duke. I was working out Saturday at a speaking engagement. And so I tried to get a quick one in. And I'm on the cycle. And I'm watching the Blue Devils. And I'm watching Marvin Bagley. And you guys know I've not been a fan of how that whole thing went down through the years. But I'm cheering for him to do well. I want kids that were here at one point in time, even if they should have been here the whole time, to do well. And I'm watching Duke, and I'm not really seeing a whole lot out of him other than a couple of threes, step-back threes. Would I take him on my team? Sure. But when I watch DeAndre Ayton at U of A, I would take DeAndre Ayton over Marvin Bagley right now, today, at this moment, especially if I'm the Suns. If I'm the Suns, I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at what's going on across the landscape of college basketball. This is not to demean Arizona State. Remember, I am the guy that most of you don't like because I wrote in Ray I Trust 2 weeks ago. And I pointed to the hiring of Bobby Hurley as a reason why. Some of you have calmed down. Many of you have not. I was out at a corporate event last night, and people were coming up, what do you think about Todd Graham? And usually when it's what do you think about, I turn it around because this is how they really want to tell me how they feel. So I turn it around on them and say, well, how do you feel? You're the one that came up to me. And so it goes on and on and on. Meantime, Bobby Hurley's sitting over here, and he comes to Arizona from Buffalo. He's coaching in this lousy arena. He has the weather up center that he brings players into. He goes out and he finds players. He takes some lumps. He has no size last year at all. None. He develops players. They get better and better and better. We're going to have Tim Healy with us at about 10:50 today because he called the game yesterday. Paula's going to be with us at 10:30. Visit with Paula Bovin, too, the professor. So I'm watching the players yesterday that are getting better and better and better. Guys, there's a reason why we do high school on this platform, because we talked about Remy Martin a year ago when Marvin Bagley was playing with Remy Martin at Sierra Canyon out in Los Angeles. And so you look at these players as they come along. My wife yesterday, she does her thing. It's Christmas. She's decorating. She actually stopped what she was doing, came in, sat down, was texting her sisters to say, you guys should be watching what Arizona State's doing. None of them went to ASU. They're just all into sports. It's not sitting there getting all wound up about Carolina against Minnesota in the final seconds. They wanted to watch what was going on the basketball court. It's pretty interesting to me. I've always felt this. If you guys don't get it, here's just a little bit of marital advice. If the wife says, hey, we should watch this sporting event, don't argue. Just say, yeah, I'm in, and sit there and enjoy the ride. You know, I've learned that through 29 years. So we're watching the end of the game, And it really wasn't even that close yesterday. If you watch the last few minutes, outside of Bill Walton making me chuckle, as Bill is apt to do, this game, yeah, it felt like Kansas was going to make another run, and then they just didn't. And I had several friends that are Sun Devil fans or alums, fans of basketball, hoopaholics, I like to call them. Us guys as hoopaholics and gals as hoopaholics here in Arizona, it's been pretty lean. You have U of A to lean on every year, and every year they just gush and gash your heart out. They lose in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, and yet everybody tells me how great they are. Then you have Arizona State, which has been a who cares program forever and ever and ever. I was their color analyst during the Frieder years. I bumped around on planes with this team. There was nothing great about them. I mean, they'd have the occasional win. Frieder was goofy and wacky, nice kids. But it was never going to be a program that was going to go very far other than the year that we went to the Sweet 16 and covered them. That was fine. But that should happen every year. I have full confidence that Bobby Hurley can coach the hell out of a group of kids every single year. I do. And I see these kids getting better as they go through their years at Arizona State. Is Trey Holder better since Bobby Hurley came here? The answer is unequivocally yes. Shannon Evans, unequivocally yes. Cody Justice, we saw Cody Justice. Eric, you and I saw Cody at Dobson. I think we might have talked about this last week a little bit, but yesterday he was struggling. Yesterday he wasn't great. But he came up with a huge shot late in the game that really sealed the deal. Do you see Cody Justice emerging? I mean, he's a starter in the Pac-12. I never saw that coming. And Herb recruited him, so you got to give Herb a little bit of credit.
We always thought, Brad, he had very few offers besides ASU. Yeah. And you and I saw him play in high school, and we were sort of thinking, wow, is this really a Pac-12 caliber player? But he has proven both of us wrong. He definitely has become and is a Pac-12 quality player.
Yeah. So
he's another guy that's been there for, it seems like, a long time.
1997, he
something
showed up.
Like that.
12th year sophomore.
But that says a lot about, I mean, that says a lot about the programs. A lot of these guys, when Herb left, could have transferred out,
right.
Could have gone somewhere else. You know, they had to cut their teeth with Hurley and the sort of making over the roster the last couple of years. And this year, so far, so really good. I know it's early December, but you could make a case that the Sun Devils are the best team in the country. If you look at their resumes and you look at the teams that they've beaten already.
You could make the case that if we go through the year in sports, we still have a couple weeks to go, that the Diamondback story was the best and that Arizona State is making a hard push here at the end. By the way, our opening thoughts are brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor now. Guys, you got to take care of what matters most. Have you checked into your life insurance? Have you done that? You've got to protect the family. You've got to protect yourselves. Protect what matters most. Log on to Sagicor now. Get information. They will help you to check out up and down what you're doing with your future. Sagicor now. Appreciate their support here on what we do at sports360az.com. So other than the ASU stuff, we're going to hear from them in the locker room in a bit. Eric, you were over at Cardinals yesterday with Jordan. Both of them are here today to live to tell about it. It was just not pretty football on one hand. On the other hand, a win is a win is a win, but we're sitting here at 6-7 now. 6-7 is kind of interesting in the NFL because it means you're pretty average, you're pretty mediocre, and there's lots of things that could happen. So they have Washington this week at Washington. Washington's not good. They have the Giants here the following week. The Giants are really not good. And they finish up with Seattle up in Seattle. And I think everybody's expecting them to have their doors blown out. If I had told you at the start of the year that with Carson Palmer going down and David Johnson going down and all the injuries that I could go on and on about, that they could be a 500 team this year. On one hand, it's a great accomplishment. On the other hand, it's a curse to be 500 because it means your draft pick's not going to be very good. You're going to be sitting there at 14, 15, 16 for a season that wasn't, in my opinion, all that great. But you have to give the coaching staff some credit on one hand, keeping the team together. They played hard yesterday, right?
No, they did. And the game honestly should not have even been that close. Gabbert missed Fitzgerald wide open in the end zone for a touchdown. There were other drives that were stalled by sacks. I mean, he was sacked 8 times yesterday.
In the last 2 weeks, 14 times?
Something like that. And hit on nearly, I won't say every drop back, but several. But they won the game. I mean, Arian said in the locker room, first thing he said in the press conference was, you're going to say it's an ugly win. I don't care. Because a win is a win.
Well, that's fine.
But... And you are right. They are sort of in no man's land because there's no sure thing that they're going to make the playoffs. And you're sort of sitting in that draft spot where you're at like 17, 18. Certainly not high enough to get a marquee quarterback. You're probably going to have to do what other teams have done and give up the farm to try to move up. If that's their intention.
You know, Peter last week was all over Mariota. Peter King, who's with us every week. He brought up Mariota, Jameis Winston have been pretty average. Mariota was not good yesterday, or is that a byproduct of what the Cardinals were doing yesterday defensively? You know, that I look at their defense and what they were able to do yesterday, and Mariota just never seemed to be comfortable. I had a guy last night that came up to me, can you believe that Jonathan Cooper is on the offensive line for the Cowboys? I'm the biggest Cardinal fan! Chandler Jones came by Jonathan Cooper. I hate doing that. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. You guys know that if you watch this forever. I'm not even close on some things, but other things, it's like, come on. If you're going to tell me you're a longtime season ticket holder and you're the biggest Cardinal fan in the world, but you can't understand why Jonathan Cooper's in Dallas and why do we let him get away and you don't know what Chandler Jones is doing. This person is a big cigar, too. It's really interesting. Anyways, there's some other things I want to get into with the winter baseball meetings, and I'm going to circle back on ASU basketball because I think the Sun Devil story today is clearly the best story in the Valley. I think if you look around the state and where we're at with GCU, you guys know I'm all in on what's going on at GCU and will continue to be. And you look at what's going on at U of A, which they were not very good at the start of the year, but when you put a guy like DeAndre Ayton on the floor, you don't have Raleigh Alkins, and nobody can convince me that all the stuff with the FBI around that program did not rattle and shake them to their core. And it still may come back. I don't know that. But I think if you've watched U of A here in the last week, the Texas A&M win and the Alabama game, that you're going to get it figured out. And December 30th, circle the calendar, December 30th in Tucson. You can do the double. December 29th, go to El Paso. Knock yourself out. It's another year. All expense paid to El Paso. And drive up I-10, and spend the night somewhere, some little dumpy hotel, and then go to the U of A ASU basketball game if you're that big of a Sun Devil fan. All right, we're going to talk about winter baseball meetings, too, here in the next segment. So a lot to get to as we continue on. Paula will join us at the bottom of the hour, and Tim Healy later on as well in this hour. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We are self-funded. That means the people that you're about to see support us. They believe in what we are doing, and we appreciate them for continuing to do that. Stay with us. Okay, so this week is going to be a big week for the Diamondbacks. I'm not expecting J.D. Martinez to return, but there is a way. There is a way. The winter baseball meetings are going on now. I just saw a little video clip of Mike Hazen down there working the room on the MLB Network. So it's come down to this, guys. From my understanding, the Diamondbacks are trying to and have tried to unload Zach Greinke and Yosmani Tomas together in order for them to go out and pursue and get J.D. Martinez re-signed. They have not been able to do that. The reason is pretty simple on this with Greinke. It's his contract. And I just think what happened in the postseason for a top-of-the-line starter, not able to go deep, and to be in a position like the Diamondbacks were in with him, it had set up so well. And then it all fell apart. They've decided they'd like to move on from him. And I'm not just saying this is my opinion. This is what I've been told. So moving Greinke and Tomas together, they have not been able to do that yet. How do you move Greinke and Tomas? And what is it that you'd be willing to get? And how much of Greinke's contract would you be willing to eat? The organization, actually Major League Baseball in general, just the business side of it, they've done some things here in the last year. BAMTech has brought in a ton of dough to MLB, big bucks. So when I hear that, well, you know, they just can't afford to take some of that salary on, I don't believe that to be true. I think Robbie Ray could be the number one starter, but we're going to have a lot of Diamondback news, in my opinion. They took a blow over the weekend. Chris Iannetta going back to Colorado. Chris Iannetta has been really good for them. Chris Iannetta was a clutch hitter. Chris Iannetta, to me, seemed to be a steadying influence. I don't know why. I haven't talked to anybody. It's not my thing to ask why a catcher would leave. I have talked to people about the Greinke thing, though. And I think that's a blow to the organization. So if you're looking at their offseason so far, one blow with Iannetta leaving. They did make the trade to bolster up their bullpen. Could take that as a positive. But we're going to have some news this week on the baseball team. And it's been a really interesting baseball weekend. Giancarlo Stanton goes from the Marlins up to the Yankees with Derek Jeter running the Marlins. Derek Jeter is not at the winter meetings, not addressing how this happened. If you're the commissioner of baseball, don't you just have kind of a, how's this really work moment? So now you're going to have Stanton and Judge together. Then you have the Angels with Ohtani. Ohtani comes to the Angels. He's probably going to DH 2 to 3 days a week from what I've read, what I've heard, people's opinions I respect. I think we're going to check in with Pedro tomorrow down at the winter meetings. And then Ohtani's going to pitch a couple days a week. I heard an interview this morning. Where was it? That the comparison to Ohtani on the mound is Jacob DeGrom of the Mets. The amount of media that is going to be covering the Angels will be crazy. I can sit here right now on December 11th and tell you that spring training with the Dodgers postseason and Ohtani coming in and the Cubs being the Cubs, it's going to be just epic. It'll be busier and crazier than ever now with this Ohtani news. Just going over there to take pictures of the media doing their job will be funny. Because there'll be so much Ohtani hype, and it'll be fun to watch. It'll be great. But there is stuff on the Diamondbacks to keep an eye on. Circling back over to ASU, so there's a couple of other things here. And one of them is, let me just see if they've updated this while I'm sitting here. The rankings. Eric, have you seen them come out yet?
I have not.
Yeah, the AP ranking week 6 is still not up. There's a couple things here around ASU. So let's go back to yesterday after winning at Kansas. You can throw all the notes, all the storied history, and all that stuff. Bottom line is, who cares? They walk in, they take care of business. Here's some of their postgame, courtesy of our friends over at Sun Devil Source, Chris Cartman and company.
They make an ability, their shot making, their unselfishness, the energy they played with at both ends of the floor, you're getting the deflections on defense, getting out in the open court, just a lot of great things. Trey had a great first half and kept it going. Shannon made some huge threes late, as they were chipping away at our advantage. And, what a player he is. One of the best guards in the country, as is Trey. And how about our freshman, Remy Martin, coming in to this type of place, which is unbelievable, by the way, just the support and the crowd and how electric it was in here. And to see Remy Martin score 23 and 8 for 11 from the field and make all the plays he did on defense. It was a tremendous thing for me to witness and be a part of.
All right, that's good stuff there from Bobby Hurley and, again, our friends over at Sun Devil Source and Chris Cartman. We appreciate them. Before the weekend, ASU was 7-0. More importantly, they were ranked in the top 10 in RPI. RPI is something we talk about, the strength of the team. And the RPI is one of the factors in determining a team and their worthiness of being in March Madness. I do RPI every year, and every year I've had people at ASU get mad at me because I point out RPI when it's in the 150s, the 180s, the 200s, because they're playing nobody. They're playing people this year, and what do you know? Coming into the games before they played St. John's on Friday and Kansas on Sunday, which, by the way, is a mimic of March Madness. That was a March Madness weekend that Bobby Hurley put together. It's very smart on his part. Let's play two national brands. Let's play those two national brands in a span of 48 hours. Let's put it out there so that this is very much like what we're going to experience when we get to Pac-12 tournament and when we get into March Madness. U of A has been through this before, so it's not a big deal to them. GCU has yet to go through, but GCU is playing a marquee schedule. I think in Arizona State's case, the fact that they finally bolstered their schedule to a point where it's no longer a joke, they were 8th coming into the week in RPI. So sitting there at 7-0, 8th before St. John's in Kansas. You have to figure now that this is going to be a team from an RPI standpoint. 3, 4, 5. I don't really care what the rankings look like today on December 11th. What I care about is what does it look like for seeding. And I'm the same way with U of A, and I'm going to be the same way with GCU. I didn't go to any of the schools, so I don't care. What I care about is what does it look like for our great state when it comes to March. For far too long, it's been one program and one program only. And that program talks a great game, but they never get to the Final Four. You look at where Arizona State is with their guards. It's all about guard play in the postseason. And yes, you got to have bigs. But I think that's why I got to go to Tucson. I've got to be at that game December 30th. I don't know what we're doing as a family. I'm going to break off the family vacation. I don't know. But ASU at Arizona to see DeAndre Ayton on one end of the floor. And on the other end of the floor, maybe ASU goes so small, they just try to run him off the floor. That's hard to do when you have players as good as Trier. Although I think he's pressing a little bit for his NBA future. Barcelo's barely playing because Parker Jackson Cartwright's getting a lot of the minutes. Alkins has just come back. I think U of A could just punish ASU inside. It's crazy. Bill Walton is so funny about this. Bill's great. I love Bill. Bill said after the game, Arizona has the best talent. Arizona has the best talent. Said it on the air. Not Arizona State, Arizona. I happen to agree with that. When you look at DeAndre Ayton, he's head and shoulders above everybody else on both sides of the court. He also said that ASU guards are great. What they are going to get from the rest of the guys will be the question mark. And I agree with that. What are they going to get from the front court? So we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
And ASU is ranked fifth this week per Jordan Hamm on the scene. And U of A is, I guess, ranked 23rd.
Fifth.
Back into the top 25.
Okay, so fifth in the rankings. Fifth.
And again, it's early December. I don't want to be the turd in the punch bowl, but it's
gross.
I just don't want to be, but it's great for ASU basketball. They're fifth.
So they have Vanderbilt this coming Sunday. Here's the bigger question. Will that game be sold out? When I hear about, well, this is a pro sports town and people have too many things going on, there's too many distractions, yada, 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 yada. I don't know. This will go back on my rant towards the Pac-12 conference and how they don't care. Scheduling Arizona State and Vanderbilt on a Sunday at noon is not a way to put people in seats. But, however, there should be as close to a sellout as I would think possible. The Hoopaholics, the ASU fans, I would think. It would be very disappointing if they're sitting there on Sunday at noon and there's 9,000 there. And there'll be excuse-making all over the place. There shouldn't be. But it's one of those things. Is there big support? They then have two games against teams that they should beat, Longwood and Pacific. I don't care if they're playing Longwood and Pacific. I'm very pleased with how hard their schedule has been up to this point. Again, when you have a strength of schedule like they've had, when you have an RPI like they've had, you have to have some games in there to get through it. Their scheduling could not have worked out better. They have a week off. They have Vandy, they have Longwood, they have Pacific, and then they have U of A. The U of A game is just, by that point, U of A, ASU is going to win those three games. If they crap the bed against Vanderbilt, Pacific, or Longwood, come on.
Kansas fell to 13th, by the way.
Who's in front of them? Do you see it?
Who's in front of ASU?
Yeah.
Number one is Villanova. Number two, it's loading, is Michigan State. Number three, Wichita State. And number four, Duke. Pretty good company to be mentioned in.
Okay, but ASU is ranked fifth. And the Pac-12 schools, the closest Pac-12 school to them is Arizona?
Hold on. It's loading again.
Loading. This is why we don't script the show, which is fine. It could crash and burn. We could take this into the next segment.
See, I know USC was ranked, but they lost.
Yeah, USC did lose. They lost late.
Yeah, it's just not loading. Sorry.
That's all right. Let me
get back to you on
that. We have Paula. So ASU is ranked fifth. Pretty cool. Pretty cool to have a team because I think U of A, by the time U of A plays ASU, I would think we could have a top 15, top 10 matchup. Which, has that ever happened in ASU U of A? I would think not. All right, the professor is on the other side. That is next, Paula Bovin and then Tim Healy. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so the story of the day is not the Cardinals winning. It's not. Phil Dawson had four field goals, and they win. They're 6-7. There's a chance they could get to 8-8 or 9-7. Who would have thought that? The story is Arizona State comes in ranked 5th in this week's Associated Press poll. They are perfect. They knocked off Kansas yesterday. The Sun Devils' next three games are at home this coming Sunday against Vanderbilt. Then they play Longwood, and they play Pacific. December 30th in Tucson, 7 p.m., Saturday night, December 30th, against the University of Arizona. First time that I can ever recall, and Paula can help me on this, and Tim Healy in about 15 minutes. Do you ever recall a time, Professor Bovin, where the Sun Devils and Wildcats were ranked A together, B, that ASU was ranked ahead of Arizona? Either one.
No, but I know it's happened because I saw the staff, but I don't remember when it was. But it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's amazing. It's not in my when I've been really paying attention era, I think.
Yeah, I think either one of us were even here at that time.
Yeah, probably.
We were probably still in Southern California doing our thing. So they come in ranked 5th this morning. Is that about what you were expecting?
Yes, it was, only because I know there were some very high-profile voters saying they were going to put ASU number one, and I just wasn't there yet. Even if you're beating Kansas, I think there's a lot of factors to consider. Maybe Kansas isn't who we thought they were. and just some of the other things that have kind of gone on, you know, with some of their opponents and things like that. So I think 5 is right and fair.
Did you watch yesterday at all?
I did. I watched most of it.
Okay, so where are you at on the job that Bobby is doing from this regard? You and I both know that Arizona State has been just a totally who-cares basketball destination. They've tried. Frieder tried.
Right.
Rob Evans tried. Herb tried. They all tried. But
right. What
is it that Bobby is doing differently, do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's differently, but one... He's starting to get better players, so that's part of this process, and that takes time. But he's also getting players, I think, that reflect who he is. And who he is a guy that has played on championship teams, who has, you know, led programs that have had their ups and downs, a guy who understands the culture of winning. When you are surrounded by that at Duke, and I don't care how long it was, you get some kind of insight into that, and that's one of the reasons I think a lot of us really liked that hire, because of where he came from, that successful background. But the other thing that he's done that's been so impressive to me, we can talk about all these new guys, and there's been some great things, but the guys that were on the team last year, how much better they are even this season, you know, whether mm-hmm. Shannon Evans or Trey Holder, Cody. I mean, all of those guys have stepped up their game. And to me, that may be one of his greatest accomplishments this season.
Talking with Paula Bovin, the professor. Ray Anderson talked about getting on the train for football here with Herm. You and I have not spoken since that came up. And Bobby is sitting over here on the side just doing his thing. I'm just curious your view of where Ray and a new building for Bobby comes down on, because I've been of the opinion the last 2 years, 3 years actually, I love the hire, and not everybody did, if we remember correctly. Bobby comes from Buffalo, didn't have a whole lot of coaching games, had less than 90 games coaching experience when he came here. Not everybody was in favor of that hire. But where the program is now, Ray's got to focus on the building, doesn't he? Or he's going to lose Bobby.
No, I absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a couple things. It's been a little bit of a chicken and egg deal with this. I've kind of felt like when Ray has talked about basketball and the facilities, he hasn't offered a ton of hope other than sort of blanket general statements, right? And I always kind of felt like he was waiting for somebody to show that it is merited, which is not necessarily the way you want to build a program, mm-hmm. but I kind of got the feeling that was going on a little bit. Well, here, this is happening now, and there's a tension to this program. And national writers are going to come into town, and they're going to write about the Sun Devils. And some may mention walking in the bowels of Wells Fargo Arena and, you know, the locker rooms and where the family members sit when they're waiting and all those kind of things that have been criticized. That stuff's going to surface. You know, the other part of it is there may now be more money willing to come in to help build and or enhance a facility for basketball because they are exciting and because people care about it. You know, that's how what it may take for ASU, who has all this other funding going on, to get something for basketball is maybe having this success might bring some more of that money in.
Okay, so I'm going to flip back over to football because you and I have not visited about this.
Right.
In the last couple of weeks, you've had finals, I've been running and all that stuff. So I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago in Ray I Trust. This was the day after Todd got blown out, actually 2 days, because Herm's name had surfaced. And I got obliterated. I got absolutely destroyed, which is fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, even if it's the wrong one. And I look at where things are, and kind of with Bobby, but with Herm, that Todd had gotten it about as far as he was going to get it, and I was tired of the excuse-making and always getting drilled by USC and UCLA. And when people say, yeah, we beat them a few years ago, it was a fluke play. The Jail Mary play should have never happened. You just bat the ball down, the game's over. So right. I'm not going to go down that path, but I'm just curious from your view, where is the football program now that the dust has settled from your point of view?
Well, I mean, I think it's sort of – it's a to be determined, and that's really bad kind of answer for, you know, streaming radio here, Brad. Or
it's reasonable, though. It's reasonable.
It's reasonable. And here's the thing. I mean, you're absolutely right about Graham maybe going as far as he could go. So this whole new approach that ASU's taken, kind of this NFL CEO, maybe the coordinators have more power, why not? You know, why not try something that, because all of these other things that have been tried with ASU football, you know, it worked, but certain things worked for Frank Cush, but I will tell you, Frank Cush couldn't coach in this era today, or his methods wouldn't have been embraced. So it's a different world. And so if they want to try something new, and I know this is outrageous for people, and I think the questions about recruiting are fair, but I'm not going to write it off. You know what I mean? And certainly you're not, it's not like you're hiring a bad guy. You know, I don't mind ASU hiring someone that has a clean record, that is really respected, that, I mean, the stuff that the ESPN people have been saying about him, I know that doesn't mean a lot on the football field. But if those are, you know, if the questioning about recruiting right now is his worst criticism, I'm fine with that. I can't get as worked up as some of these ASU fans have been.
It really comes down to this from my view, and that is, if it doesn't work, Ray's going to get fired. Pretty simple. And with the football program. Now Ray is in a space that every athletic director should be embracing, and that is, I got to make sure my basketball coach stays here.
Right.
And I got to make sure my football coach gets it done. I had a big cigar who writes checks where the decimal point is way down the line to ASU. And he said, here's the deal on this hire. This hire, coaches are usually given 3 years. This hire, the coach is being given 15 minutes on the first day of spring football workouts. So there's a bullseye.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a bullseye there, I think, on Ray in that regard. Mm-hmm. How do you think he's going to handle that?
Oh, I think he's fine. I mean, you don't get as far as you've gotten without being uber confident, without, you know, things have gone, he has worked very hard and he has earned everything that has happened to him. But he's in a good place right now. I don't think he's going to overreact to the hysteria. I mean, I think he was taken a little bit of surprise by some of the reaction. But I think he's going to be fine and I think he's going to be patient. And, you know, if someone's trying this, probably having someone like Ray Anderson try it is good, because this guy is poised and comfortable in his lot in life, and he'll have some patience. So it's going to be a fun ride, though, with the football program, no question, Brad.
I'd like to see Michael Crow walk in and sit center court at some basketball games here in the next few weeks. I would like to see that, because I think he needs to see what's going on. If he hasn't, that the basketball team, the basketball program needs a new facility. And if he doesn't know it by now, he's just not in touch. I'm sure he does. But let's send a message out that we're going to address this. Because Bobby's going to get to a point of, okay, I've taken this thing about as far as I can take it. I can't bring recruits in here because this place is a dump. And I can take them to the Weather Up Center because it's beautiful. Why can't we modernize this basketball facility? I think that's the crucial point here.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. I mean, and I think, you know, this is, for that argument in that case, what's happening now is the best thing that could have happened to ASU for many reasons. Like we said, maybe money coming in from another source, but also maybe the pressure that the athletic department feels now to get something done. And yeah, I mean, you got to try to figure out how to keep Bobby. I don't know if you extend him sooner rather than later or what, but they've got to find a way to make that work.
Thank you, Paula. See you soon.
Thank you, Brad.
It's always good to catch up with Paula Bovin. There you go. The professor. Tim Healy is next, just back from Lawrence, Kansas. ASU comes in fifth in the AP poll, just came out. And we have some other things to get to, too. But this is a big day for college basketball in our state. We don't have many of these days. We kind of like it. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, our television show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. 16 airings per week on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate their partnership as well. We're self-funded thanks to those people who you're about to see. All right, during the break, I was scrolling through the AP college basketball poll that does have Arizona State ranked fifth this week. It's really interesting, and we'll get to Tim Healy here in a second, get his reaction to this. There's 26 voters that make up this poll. One of them is Doug Haller right here in the Valley. Doug does a great job in covering ASU. He's very thoughtful, has an Indiana background, so he's followed the Hoosiers, and I think that he's a big college basketball follower and fan. He had Arizona State ranked third in his poll. They came in fifth. Dick Vitale is one of those that is part of the 26. Dickie V had ASU ranked seventh. Antonio Morales of the Jackson Clarion Ledger had Arizona State ranked number one. So they're all over the board, but they're in the top 10. U of A came in ranked towards the bottom. The facts are ASU's schedule with Vanderbilt at home, that game should be sold out without question. Longwood Pacific, Longwood comes in, and then Pacific, not Longwood Pacific. Sorry about that. December 30th in Tucson, U of A, ASU. ASU could be around one, two, or three by that point. Tim Healy, the longtime voice of the Sun Devils, joins us. All right, so did you see a top five program that you would be the play-by-play voice of when this season started, Tim?
No, I did not. I thought they would be, you know, improved, and we hoped significantly improved, and we thought significantly improved. But this last month has been absolutely stunning, Brad. It's some of the most compelling stuff I've seen in 20 years broadcasting Arizona State athletics. And yesterday's game at Allen Fieldhouse immediately catapulted into my top five moments, events, games in my 20 years in all three sports that I've done. It was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had as a broadcaster, and it was on because of so many layers. Not only the quality of the way the Sun Devils performed on such a big stage in such a fabled venue in front of such rabid fans against a great program in the backdrop of the start that ASU has had to this season, facing a challenging weekend of travel and a very short turnaround. I mean, on so many layers and so many levels, the performance was off the charts, and the experience was one I'll cherish for the rest of my life. And but in answer to your question, no. I mean, I'm still having a challenging time wrapping my mind around all that's happened here. The improvement has just been so stunning, and I kind of run out of adjectives to describe it. I think the first inkling I got that this might be a little bit better than perhaps what we thought was when the Sun Devils played San Diego State in their second game of the season, because San Diego State's been a really good program, one of the better programs on the West Coast for the last decade or so, and they're a good team this year too. And just watching them warm up before that game, I remember thinking to myself, I think the Devils are going to have a bit of a tough time tonight. And then lo and behold, they did indeed fall behind by 9 to the Aztecs early in the second half. And then the next thing you know, you look up at the scoreboard, game's over, and Arizona State's won by 22. And then, you know, then came a couple more wins, and then the two games in Las Vegas where they beat really good teams in Kansas State and Xavier.
Right.
And what they did to Xavier, and look at how Xavier's played since. They're 10th in the AP poll this week. They're 9-1. And how weird is it to say that Xavier's loss is now considered a quality loss because they lost to Arizona State? ASU fell behind by 14 in that game, late first half, and then had the deficit down to 2 at halftime, and then just dominated in the second half. And they've just continued to build on that. It's funny, they've actually only played 3 games in the last 2 weeks since that Las Vegas tournament. They played University of San Francisco last week and then had the game with St. John's at the Staples Center Friday night. And I thought that was an impressive win because St. John's is a good club and they are a feisty defensive team. And yet the Devils were able to withstand a second half charge by the Johnnies to win that game. And then came yesterday's drama in Lawrence. But this is just totally stunned me. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Sure.
But you also realize that you don't want your team peaking in December. You want to peak in March, and there's a lot of basketball left to be played. And I think Bobby Hurley will be the first to tell you that there are going to be some rough patches along the way. Heck, they've already seen some rough patches, but they've been able to overcome them with their ability to rally. I mean, yesterday when they fell behind 15-2. I just had deja vu moments flashing back to so many ASU U of A games I've broadcast in Tucson in the Lute Olson era,
yeah,
where it would be 16-2 Wildcats at the first media timeout.
Over.
And then the final score would be something like 90-55. And
right.
And I kind of feared that yesterday might be more of that because, you know, it's 15-2 and those fans are just, that is one terrific atmosphere. And I'm glad a lot of Sun Devil fans made it to the game to witness history, but also to just absorb that atmosphere. If you're a college hoops fan, if you can sometime in your life make a visit to Lawrence and go to a game at Allen Fieldhouse, it is well worth the trip because it's not just Kansas basketball, it's almost the cradle of the game of basketball because of the role of James Naismith, and they named the court after the founder of the game itself. So it's a great, great experience. But when they were down 15-2 yesterday, I thought, well, it was fun, but at least we got a split out of the weekend. And then, but they proved us wrong. And I think the key moment in the game, in my opinion, was when they immediately, after falling behind 15-2, went on a 10-0 run to get back into the game. They never led until early second half, but with that comeback and that 10-0 run, at that point, I think they said game's on, and they stayed within touch of the Jayhawks the rest of the first half, and then just kind of wore them down in the second.
No, I agree with that. We're talking with Tim Healy, longtime voice of Arizona State, sportscaster of the year in Arizona as well, should be noted. So I thought the weekend was an NCAA second week of March weekend, which we have, or third week of March weekend, which we have not had. It's, you play a Friday night national brand in St. John's. You have to turn right back around and play another national brand in Kansas. That was impressive on one level. The growth of players individually to me, Tim, Bobby's gotten them and his staff have gotten them better year after year. That's not always the case where players will come in with a lot of hype. I'm sure you've seen it, and they peak out and they don't get better. These guards in particular have gotten better year after year. What are you seeing in the development of the players?
Well, let me tell you one word that applies to Trey Holder, Cody Justice, and Shannon Evans that you don't hear much these days in college basketball. The word is senior. You know, how many seniors, how many four-year seniors,
that's a good call,
do you see in college basketball? Trey Holder has been here 4 years. Cody Justice has been here 4 years. Shannon Evans has been with Bobby Hurley, I think, 5 years, and three here at Arizona State after sitting out one as a red shirt and, of course, played for Bobby at the University of Buffalo. But, you know as well as I do that good guard play is one of the vital ingredients of a good basketball, especially a good college basketball team. And when that good guard play is coming from three seniors, I just think that is such a huge, huge part of this team's success. And as far as, you know, what you were asking, as far as the improvement, you know, Trey Holder just, his confidence level has just grown by leaps and bounds. And I think Trey took better care of his body during the off season. He was saying that he ate nothing but fish all summer. Salmon being his preference.
That's good.
But you know, he got his body better sculpted, and he just looks like he can score in so many ways. He's a good 3-point shooter. He can score off the dribble with some acrobatic drives to the bucket, and just is playing at such a great confidence level right now. And Shannon Evans, I think to me had the shot of the game yesterday when he hit a dagger three from almost halfway between the top of the circle and the midcourt stripe, and shot it immediately. It wasn't a rushed shot at the end of a possession, because he knew he was going to make that shot, and I think it put the lead up to 13 or something like that, and Bill Self had to call a timeout right afterward. But that, I think that's the one moment when I kind of knew to myself, I think they're going to do this. They're going to win this game.
Yeah.
And Cody Justice, yesterday, he didn't have a great shooting game. He was only, I think, 2-for-10, but one of his threes was really big after he made the biggest shot of the St. John's game Friday night at Staples Center, a 1-point lead with 2 minutes to go, and he nails a clutch three, and the Devils then go on an 11-0 run to end the game and win it. But after struggling with his shot yesterday, Cody had 9 rebounds. He had a career high in rebounds. He was ASU's leading rebounder yesterday. So they can do a lot of things, beat you in a lot of ways. And I just think that veteran presence that they have, you know, they've been here and they've been through a lot of down, lean times in the last 3 years, and a lot of losses, and a lot of difficult moments. And you know, for them to get a chance to experience this at the start of this season, I'm really, really happy for them. But that senior, the word senior, I just think is so huge and such a big part of all this. And then to those three veteran guards, you inject a guy like Remy Martin, the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he is something else to watch. He is a freshman that plays with a maturity way beyond his years. And not too many freshmen come in and have leadership qualities like Remy Martin does. He's been so much fun to watch. His on-ball defense is just absolutely tenacious, and he was the spark, I think, that led that comeback against Xavier a couple of weeks ago. He just got into everybody's mind that was wearing Xavier colors that day, and really helped turn the tide in ASU's favor.
I'll let you go off that. Good stuff, Tim. Rest up, and we'll enjoy this ride for a while. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
Always good to hear your voice. Tim Healy, their voice of the Sun Devils. Next Sunday, Vanderbilt, noon. Longwood and Pacific, and then Arizona. And you got to go. I know it's holiday, but look, if you got to choose between the Sun Bowl and going to U of A ASU in basketball, I don't think there's even any debate on this one. If you want to do the double, it's a pretty easy double to do. And if you're a U of A fan, this will be fun for you. This will you at your place. You have a player of the year right now, DeAndre Ayton. You've got Trier. You've got a terrific team, terrific group of players. And it'll be fun. Yeah, it's a couple weeks away. I hope that neither team stubs their toe. Craps the bed, as I like to say. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man here. Eric, as always, produces. Eric Sorensen does a terrific job day in and day out. Thanks to Jordan Hamm. Haley Stasiak, who's graduating today. This is awesome for her. And to you for checking us out day in and day out. From here, we go over to the website, and we work on content 24/7, 365. Sports360AZ.com is the web address. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings this week. We'll have a fresh episode tomorrow. We'll work on that today as well. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.